I say it with attitude. Help yourself. Now, y'all didn't say it right. Some of y'all missed it. Help yourself. Drop that R, yourself. All right. Help yourself. It's great vernacular. It really is. It makes a point. I want you, if you would, please turn to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 at verse 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to read it out of the NIV version. You may remain seated. Honor God in doing the word. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Say it with me. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that we allow this word to penetrate into our spirit, mind, and our soul. I thank you. It's a power that renews our mind. It renews our spirit, God, and it renews hope once again. I thank you for the power of your word, Father God, that will not return void unto you, but it shall accomplish what it set out to do, for this is your prophetic word. I thank you in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. I want you to look at this as it says, we were under great pressure. Now, we started this last time, and I think it was on a Wednesday. Then we went into our conference about the pressure. And then Wednesday, we talked about the press. Remember that? The press. How Jesus was in the press and how we've been in a press and how the prophetic word will come into your life and then you're put into a press. And that press begins to draw out of you what God has put into you. Well, I want to talk to you about helping yourself. Help yourself. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, help yourself. Now look to your other neighbor. I said, help yourself. Not me help you, but help yourself. No, I said, help yourself. Now stand up and look to the neighbor way in the back and say, help yourself. All right, now. Now look. All right, so the ones in the back, stand up and look to the ones in the front and say, help yourself. When the men are here, we're going to break out. I got spirit. Yes, I do. I got spirit. How about you? You're going to help yourself, right? And we understand that the pressures we come under, sometimes we don't even want to help ourselves. Pressures are so bad, all we're going to do is just cave in and say, I'm through, I'm done, I'm out of here. See ya, peace. Done. But then you'll miss out on the very thing that God has put you through to get understanding. He wants you to get understanding. Are you getting, get what? Understanding. Well, I want the understanding of the glory. Good, you're going to go through hell before you find glory. Yeah, I'm going to talk with you real. I may just preach from the back. Well, go ahead. Help yourself. See? Someone catching in here. See, what happens is we get so caught up in doing the same thing over and over. It's a routine, but yet we don't want to let go of the old and grab hold of the new. See, and God says, I have put the press on my church for a long time because they have to get an understanding, but they're not getting their understanding. They're looking for me to do a handout. Huh? Come and stand in the line and get your government cheese and get your WIC and get all kinds of stuff. Get that Lone Star card. Try to do everything you can. I'll sell you these if you just give me an extra dollar here because I need to get some cash instead of getting my food stamps. Huh? I'm tired of this Lone Star stuff, but you've been in the press for a while, but then you get so used to being in the press, you don't want to come out that press because you've gotten so used to all the assistance that has come your way.
Amen. Wow. That's right. Amen.
Make it so easy. I ain't got to work. I'll just collect all this right here that comes in every month. I know when it comes in because that's not faith.
All right.
Because I know what's coming in. And I know when it comes in. Y'all know exactly when it's hitting your account too. You know exactly what's coming. Because at 11:59 the night before, you're already looking at that account. Because when it turns to 12 o'clock, here it is. It's there. It's there. I know it says write the check. Send it out. Just pay that bill. No, that ain't faith. You just waiting right now. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And then you start stretching that thing out as much as you can. The dollar can only stretch so much. Yeah, that's real. Right, but we try to pull that dollar. Pull it. It ain't made out of rubber. Our checks are, but the dollar not. You know your bank loves you so much it sends your statement over there. It's not a statement. It's a bounce check. We covered it for you. We got you. We covered it. Then we get so caught up that we know the bank's going to cover us that we write more checks. And the bank really loves us. They keep sending all kinds of letters to us how much they love us. Check this out. Oh, that's not a statement? No, that's their statement. I covered it. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending me some extra. Watch this.
That's right. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah. They're in business to make money. The bank ain't your friend. They're in there to make money. And take your money. Use your money to make more money. And you're the one broke. Getting all mad. And then, put it in your own eye. Don't get mad at me. I know I went left. Went left. And I had to, but I hurt. Watch this. He says they were in great despair, right? Great despair. So I looked at the word despair. It don't mean two pair. It means despair. Watch it. Feeling of hopelessness. A profound feeling that there is no hope. That's the Apostle Paul writing this. And this is the definition of the word that he used, despair. A cause of hopelessness, somebody or something that makes somebody feel hopeless or exasperated. Lose hope to feel that there is no hope. All in one word. Yeah, sometimes we get to that point and yet, and I said Wednesday night, we're still the children of God, but yet we're in this position. And he wants to get us to our promise. And yet we go through a process that we don't want to listen. And I've said this many times. You know what? If you just, the only thing you remember about me is that I'm crazy, good. Just know this, I'm crazy for the Lord. But I'm also a shepherd that don't like to see people go through the same mess over and over and over, trying to help you. If you keep going through the same old mess, you don't get mad at Pastor. You don't get mad at the house of manna. Don't get mad at God. You go look in that mirror and say, you the reason. Mm-hmm. And don't be looking at the person that's standing behind you. You're looking at the mirror right there. I should be putting mirrors all along the church. So that when you walk in, say, help yourself. So that when you're leaving, you can look at the old one that used to be there and see you ain't the same person that entered the church today. Because you helped yourself not to leave yourself in that place that of despair, hopelessness. See, we're going to end this whole series on help yourself. Help yourself. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 30, please. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. Out of the King James, I'll begin reading. You can take notes. And David was greatly distressed. Say this with me. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him. People. What people? The people that were with him. The people that were following him. The people that said he's a great leader. The people that knew that God was with him. Those people. You ever get around that? You get in a situation, and I'll come back to read it here in a minute. You ever get around people that say, you're the leader. God chose you. God chose you. God chose you. But when things go wrong in my life, I'm going to kill you. And not with the real kind of killing. They're gonna pick up the rocks. The big ones, and it takes two people by you. Not the rocks that we used to throw at the trains on wrecks when they come by. You get those little rocks and they do nothing to the train. You got to get the big rocks. You remember Chris used to get those big rocks and put it in front of the train like the train was going to roll over. But here's the thing. When you got momentum to where you're going, nothing that stands in the way is going to get you off track. As long as you keep pointing forward. Even when they want to stone you. Read on. I'll paraphrase it in Marty's kind of language. Because he said, you know what? I didn't call you to me. David was in the cave of Adullam. All these people, like-minded, like spirit, showed up just like David in debt. Why'd they gotta go there and say in debt? Got no money and got no sense. Got no direction either. But they got the checkbook. Because as long as you got checks, you can, hey, what's up? I got your lunch today. I'll even barbecue for you later. What your flavor is. Some of y'all don't know about that and y'all know. In debt. Show up there. He didn't say that he was going to get them out of debt, did he? Oh, he didn't even say he was going to lead them. Yeah, y'all going to miss this one. But they chose him. Chose him. He said, look, I went and hide in a cave that nobody could find me. And this ain't no big old cave. You just walk in. Look, a cave. No, they had to go through some crevices and some areas that they shouldn't have been going through. But they happened to find him in that place where he was at. See, sometimes you get found out where you're at. Not when you're at the top, but maybe when you're at the bottom. And maybe you've lost some things and people already came against you. Maybe you've gone to a couple of ministries. You know, keep it real. I did keep it real and lost it all. It's all right. They don't know about it, buddy. They don't know about it. Got the t-shirt too. Still can't sell them, but we got it. That's all right. Got it all stored up, Terry. Come on, Terry. We got it stored up. Boxes in there. Keep it real, ministry. Keep it real. I done keep it real, real. You weren't ready, son. Okay. Got all kinds of shirts and slogans and stuff. Keeping it real. He says, when you go down, watch this. People are going to gather unto you. What do you mean when I go down? I thought when I'm up, people gather. He goes, no, when you're down, the real true people gather. Because then they come to you because you're in distress and you're in despair. And there is no hope. They just kind of just show up. Oh, but then all of a sudden you make the wrong move. And then what happens? Oh. Where's keep it real now, huh? Keep it real, ministry. About to keep it real with you. But so this big old rock. Matter of fact, let's get a couple of people. Let's throw these big old rocks on them. Where David at? Where's David? How is it you can't find David now to stone him? But you can find him when he didn't want to be found. But when things didn't go your way, you know, the wives and the children were taken and they plundered them. If you don't understand the story, read your Bible. I ain't got time to go through and kind of set the whole story up. Know your Bible. David lost everything. And the people that were with him lost their wives. Some of y'all looking, well, that's not a bad thing. Y'all need to stop that. Y'all need to stop that one. But watch this. Now they can't find David to stone him. He writes about it. They want to stone me. The Bible says that David helped himself. Oh, yeah. It looks kind of bad, doesn't it? It looks really bad. It gets really bad all the way around you. The ones that used to be with you, used to cut with you, used to put on the coat for you. Mm-hmm. Gone. Chispale. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. I used to armor bear this pastor. The only reason why I'm saying this because I had a dream about this pastor last night. And there was healing in the dream. Don't get it twisted. Took the man of God's pants off after service. Put on fresh pants for him. Put on his shoes and his socks for him. Buckled his belt from it. And I said, God, what was that all about? You ain't got to humble me. I ain't afraid of nobody. What is that humbling about? That's not humbling. That's not servanthood. He says, what you were doing is you were clothing me. He says, when you clothe me, I will clothe you with righteousness. Because remember, as you do unto one, you do unto me. I said, Lord, I didn't get that until last night. He goes, yeah, you've been bitter about it. Let me help you. You've been clothing me. You've been clothing me by going low so I could raise you up. When you go low, that's when you know that the sense of humility isn't because your choice. It's because you said yes to me. And when you began to clothe me because you were covering the anointed, I will cover you in the times of vulnerability. David was very vulnerable because they had every right for them to stone him because he made a choice and a decision not to pursue after them. And they took the wives and the children, and he helped himself, and he got into a place of prayer when everything else was going wrong around him. The press was on and it was tired. There was no way out, and there was not even a sign of light at the end of this tunnel. But he got on his face and he began to inquire of the Lord. He began to help himself. And we're so used to having people put all kinds of oil on us that you're going to get a 30 weight put all over you. You got to get an oil change. Don't forget the oil filter too, because sometimes all it takes is for you to get down on the dirt, get down on the carpet, put your face before God. Say, I may have missed it once, but I know you're going to bring me through like you did the last time. You don't like the way I'm preaching. You don't like the way I'm teaching. Get out of your mess and help yourself. Oh, but I need to make sure I got people with me that got my vision. They ain't got, get your own vision. Go in the direction that God told you to go. And then people like mind, like spirit, just start showing up on the scene. Hey, hey, you going somewhere. You're going somewhere. I'm going with you. I ain't going to stay where I used to be. Even like get mad at you. I don't like what you say and how you say. I don't like the way you dress. Losing your hair, receding hairline and all. Getting grayer and grayer. I know when you color your hair, it's all right. I know what you're doing. Try to make yourself look younger. But I got you. Because you got vision. You got purpose. And then when everything starts going a little south, a little sideways, and people get all mad at you, oh, help yourself. Help yourself. Get yourself in that place that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went down and he prayed before the Lord 3 times. And he said, oh, let this cup pass from me if it be your will. Let it pass. And the people that were with him were no longer with him in that very moment. What does it say? They were a stone throw away. Oh, come on now. How come it's always about a stone? How come it's always about a rock? How come it's always about something that somebody can pick up and throw at you? Because every time that you're doing something for the Lord, just know this. You may feel like you're glass. You may feel like you're very vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. But the moment they pick up that rock and they want to sling it at you, you help yourself and say, if you're coming against me, God is for me. You say, whatever you meant for evil, God is going to turn it for my good. And I'm going to keep on pressing on. You may try to put something to try to stop me or derail me, but because I have momentum. Momentum. Ain't nothing going to derail me. I will pulverize what you put on that rail. Why? Because I've got momentum to where I'm going. Help yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, he said help yourself. Now say it with attitude. Help yourself. Now are we talking in here? Now we talking. How do you help yourself when you got no hope? You start looking at things that you know are outside of your reach. You start looking at things that you know you can't do on your own. You step into that place that this is mine. And daddy said I can have whatever I want to have. And I step right into that place and I look up and he says, look up into the hills. Why into the hills? Because that's where I'm at. But you're so used to living in the valley. You're so used to just living in the plains, living in the desert. Look up so I can change your perspective. Maybe I'll change your direction. Maybe I'll give you new directives. I try. Help yourself. When you help yourself and you don't rely on others to lift you up, you rely on God to get you through. Because no one can say, I got you there. No, 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 no. Where were you when you wanted to stone me? Remember? You couldn't find me. Why? Because I was low. I was low. I was on the ground. You couldn't find me. You were looking for me in a high place. Where you once knew I was at, but I was in a low place. And I was praying unto the Father, and the Father heard me. And when he heard me, he began to change some things and perspectives. And then I went and got your wives. I went and got your children. Not only that, I got all that money that you didn't even have. I got the extra for you, and I brought it back to you. Because I helped myself. I helped myself. And if I can help myself, I'll do it that'll help you. But you got to know one thing. One thing that they did is they wanted to stone David. So they went to the rock and they picked up the rock. And that was the thing that helped them, because it helped David get lower. It drove him to the point, I'm going to help myself by getting lower, lower and lower, to the point, I'm not the one that you chose. Right now, I'm the man that God chose. The man, not a king, not a warrior, but the man. Before I became a king, before I became a warrior, I'm the man that he chose first. The little boy that was out in the field just doing what daddy said to do. I was in great pressure, because I was taking care of my daddy's sheep, and along came a lion and a bear. And guess what? It only prepared me for a bigger pressure. Sometimes you go through some stuff in your life and you don't even understand why. I just got saved. This is not supposed to be this way. It's to be all nice, rosy, and posy. It's supposed to be real good. No sickness going to hit my body because I'm saved now. I ain't going to be in lack because I'm saved now. I'm saved. First demon crosses your life. Get all up in your business. Lose your house, lose your vehicle, lose your mind, lose your health. Where's your daddy now? Help yourself. Because during that whole time, he was preparing you for a bigger giant that was coming your way. He said, when he was out on the field, David, the little boy, David, took his little harp with him. Took his harp with him. What did he do? Did he play that lion in the bear way? No, 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 no. He says, I gotta learn to protect. I gotta learn to guard. What daddy said to guard. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm preaching myself. I'm helping myself. So what I did, what did he do? He said, I'm going to take these things out because I got to guard what God has given me. Shoo, help yourself. I am helping my preach on, Pastor. Watch this. Lion and a bear ain't nothing. Watch this. Watch how David had to go through something. He goes up. Daddy says, take the cheese and the bread over there. Go over there. Now, shoot. I'm Jimmy John. Now, what, you calling for sandwich? Jimmy John, show up. Show up to the front line with the sandwich and say, here you go. And then all of a sudden, this giant starts taunting. We all know the story. If you don't know it, read your Bible. Now, watch this. What was with being prepared out there in the field with the sheep was nothing in comparison to what he was about to face.
Right.
Why? Because the bear and the lion, they didn't taunt your spirituality. Goliath spoke and taunted your spirituality and your faith. That's a whole different kind of pressure. Out here, you're by yourself. They ain't talking to you. You know there's a threat. So he deals with the threat. Now he gets over here. And now there's a giant taunting your faith. Yeah, your God, your faith. And taunting your ability. Addresses his stature. The sword was bigger than David. Bigger than David. To tell you that sometimes you're going to face some things in your life that the weapons are bigger than you. What you going to do? And then Saul is the one said, oh, you're going to go fight? Matter of fact, none of the people that are with me want to deal with him. You missed that one. Sometimes the ones that are leading don't even have real followers. But it took somebody that was in preparation in the pressures to come up to the line. And then Saul says, why don't you put my armor on? How many times somebody try to put something on you that is not you? It don't work. You can't be like everybody else. Don't even try to look like everybody else. Don't even try to dress like everybody else. Don't even try to do the proper thing. Preaching to myself. Whew. Don't try to do things that they say it must be done this way. You don't have no altar call in the beginning of the service with all the lights off. They don't know about this. Have an altar call. Ain't got no altar team working anyhow. Pastor's facing the other way. Crying to himself, turns around, and is surprised that so many people are there. Well, I'm talking for real. I didn't know y'all were going to come up. Did y'all see my church? Whoa. But if it been me trying to put on Saul's armor to do it like how T.D. Jakes does, or like Joel Osteen does, or maybe how Jesse Duplantis does, maybe it wouldn't have worked that way. Maybe you would have gone home within the hour and been all right eating your chicken. It's all right. But God has a way of saying, I made you to be different for a reason. Don't put on. I got lost in the chicken. Don't. Did you? No. Don't be putting on something that's not you and trying to wear something that's not you. You got to do it your way because you've been in the press before. So when you come out the press, watch what happens. Watch what happens. He comes out the press and he's looking at this giant. He says, you may be big, but you can't outrun me. That means if you're big, you're going to fall too. That means I've got all kinds of things working for me and not against me. And so when I know that I'm not by myself, because I know there was no way when I was a kid fighting with this bear and this lion over here. First of all, they have no business being in that territory to begin with. Yeah. Y'all just read the word. Oh, that's a nice story. Ain't no bear in that region. God can make a bear show up when it's not supposed to be in that territory. Boom, there's your bear. Why? Because it's there to teach you something. To teach you what's inside of you under the great pressure and despair when there is no hope. What's inside of you, you would have never known if that bear didn't show up. And you deal with the bear and here comes a lion now. A lion's one thing because you know it's in that region. But guess what? Not in that region where he was at. It's supposed to be in the jungle. It's the Jungle Book hour. It's talking about all kind of animals. Some of y'all need to go to the zoo again. Y'all forgot what kind of animals are, where they come from. But if you just read the fine print, they don't come from the region where David was. God can put things in position for you that will oppose you, not to take you out, but to take you to where you need to be. So when Goliath showed up, he said, you? You too slow. You got someone carrying your armor for you and your shield? Look at here. I'll reach for my rock. Because I'm about to stone you. Not knowing that later on in the story, after Saul has said, I need you to come to me and be with me. Now watch this. The one giant that he would never prepare for is the one that says that I need you.
That's right.
Ooh. I need you. You minister to me. I need you. He wasn't prepared for that one. Because then that one turned on him. He didn't stay in the fight against that one because he knew the hand of God was still on that one. What happened? He began to understand God's ways. And when you understand God's ways, now watch this. Now we're fast forwarding all this time. Now he comes up now. See, Saul didn't recognize him and who he was. But because when he was ready after dealing with those animals, he dealt with this giant. That the giant that nobody in Saul's army wanted to deal with. But that pressure out there, that when he was alone, that kind of pressure. How many of you are going through some pressure right now and you feel like you're alone and you have no hope coming out of this thing? Don't get mad because you're about to face this giant that's about to catapult you to a place of notoriety. And And then he's going to say, oh, watch this. You'll never have to pay taxes again. You can have my daughter. And she had to be fine because you ain't going to fight with someone that's ugly. But you're going to be fine. So David got that one. He said, she mine. No taxes. Matter of fact, my family ain't going to pay no taxes either. You're missing it. Taxes is the taxing spirit that comes upon the people of God that are doing things good and right for the kingdom, but they're getting taxed. Y'all missed that one. Watch this. When you've gone through the press to get you to the battle line, God removes that taxing spirit off of your life and off of your family. Y'all missing this one. You're missing it. Because then there's not going to be a tax placed on your land. You're missing it. On your promise, it won't be taxed.
Amen.
What else did he give her? Oh, and you can have covenant. Covenant with my daughter. He was a king. King. But brought back into the kingdom. The association. We just start reading the story real quick and we think, oh, that's cool. He got the wife, no, nothing. No taxes. What happened? There was a shift that took place by dealing with this thing. That giant. So he had an understanding of a kingdom mindset. Y'all gonna miss this one. Because he was only a shepherd boy. He was never a king. In God's eye, he was gonna be. Destiny means despair first. Shepherd boy here dealing with the bear comes all the way over here and deals with Goliath, and all of a sudden the king takes notice. Well, you know what? Go tell daddy I need you to be with me. Come over here. Come with me. You already got my daughter. She's yours. Boom. You're in the family. Now you're going to start learning about a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset. They only knew how to be shepherds out in the field. They didn't know how to be kings in the kingdom. God's intent was to teach them about kingdom mindset. But the only way you get into a kingdom mindset is dealing with things in pressure. And so when it's time to release that pressure, notice. You get noticed. And when you get noticed, things start happening. Now we have fast forwarded now where he's in the cave. He's lost everything. Now he retrieves everything that was taken and before they wanted to stone him. He retrieves it all. Watch this. All that pressure. He didn't have to go get the crown. The crown was brought to him at Ziklag. Brought to him. When? During great pressure. Reminds me of somebody else in the Bible. When? Let me just tell you. If you would. Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50. 50 is Jubilee. Where debts are canceled. Slaves are set free. And things that have been held over your life are removed. You're no longer in debt anymore. In Genesis 50, verse 19 through 21. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. Say it with me. What is now being done. The saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Watch this. Joseph got into a palace, but he was in the press. Oh, y'all got food on your mind. I'll get you out real quick. Watch this. We know the story about Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors. Many colors. I wore the shirt just for that. Coat. Many colors. Favor is on him. Favor. Favor is going to draw all kinds of persecution your way.
I got favor. Lord, I want favor. No, you don't. You want real favor? Real pressure coming your way. Mm-hmm. Real favor makes your own brothers want to kill you. Real favor will even make your daddy say, what is wrong with you, boy? Are you crazy? You thinking I'm going to bow down to you? Favor will make you doubt what God has spoken to you. Y'all don't want to hear. Y'all don't. If God spoke something to you in your dream, he went to daddy first because he didn't understand it. Y'all missing that? We know him as a dreamer. We didn't know Joseph as the interpreter. We knew him as a dreamer. So he goes and tells dad, Dad, I had this dream. I had this dream, Dad. And my brothers, they were bowing down to me. Your brothers bowing down to you? Don't go and tell them. I know your brothers. They're going to want to stone you. And I don't mean the happy stone. I mean the stoning that's going to kill you. I'm going to tell you like it is for real. Y'all think y'all are all saved in here. Tells him the dream and tells daddy the dream. Daddy gets mad. What, you think me and mama going to bow down to you? I don't think so. Go help and see what your brothers are doing. Don't miss it. Who sent him out? Dad. Began the process of all kinds of pressure coming at him. Because Dad said, I'll never bow to you. So then Joseph goes through that whole thing. Brothers turn on him, throw him through the pit. And we're going to leave him there for dead. Say it with me now. Help yourself. Have you felt that you've been in the pit by yourself? Help yourself. Go through that process. Don't negate the process because you'll negate your promise. When you go through, sometimes you're going to go through it alone. And it feels like you're in isolation. And you're in real despair. No hope. No faith. And no light. Sometimes no strength. Find it interesting, they could throw him in. He couldn't get out, but they could get him out. The same ones that throw you in are the same ones that are going to reach and get you out. They may turn on you for a minute. They may mean evil for you, but God's going to turn it for your good. They may get you out of the pit to only get you into slavery, to some get you sold to slavery. They may even lie to your daddy about you. They may even lie about things that had happened to you. They'll tear up that very coat that was on you. But guess what? What God has put on you, no man can take off of you. Because it's on you. It becomes your DNA. It becomes a part of you. And you go through that process. And people try to take that away from you. But it's your identity that is in you because of him. You go through this process of being strung along, taken along in chains and fetters, and taken to a place that you have never gone there yourself. Because you are nothing but a tent dweller. You've only learned to live in tents out in the fields, out in the desert, out and away from people and palaces because you didn't know how to interact with them. But I'm trying to get you to a place that you've never been. I'm trying to get you to learn something that you've never done. I'm getting you acclimated to a place that you've never been to in your life. But I got to get you through the process first. And when I get you through the process, watch this. It may be hard. It may be alone. But the same people that said, I'm with you are the ones that throw you in. And they're the ones that are going to pick you back out to set you on the course where you need to go. And when you go through it, you notice nothing was ever said of what Joseph ever said. Don't miss that. Because he didn't get bitter in it. He didn't get mad in it. They didn't even write what Joseph said. The Apostle Paul didn't even write what their troubles were. He said there were troubles, many troubles, great troubles. But I'm not going to tell you what they are. They don't write about what Joseph even thought, what he even went through. Joseph didn't even write about it himself. He kept his mouth shut. But we don't know how to keep our mouth shut when we're going through things. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. You ain't the only one. Help yourself. Help yourself. Go before God. And God, you got to help me because I can't even help myself. And the people I thought that were going to help me are the ones that are after me. They're the ones that want to get rid of me. They're the ones that want to kill me. But what you have purposed in me, God, I don't even understand. But the pressure drove him. Not only did he become a slave, but then he was sold into Potiphar's house. And it's not until he gets into the prison there, not free, but imprisoned, that he begins to learn and harness the gift that God gave him. Not a dreamer, but the interpreter of dreams. Because how are you going to understand what it really means if you ain't gone through the press yourself? How are you going to understand what it is to be facing death and not ever face death yourself? How are you going to know that when you see the gallows, that that meant that someone's going to be executed? If you yourself have been put in that place thinking that you yourself were going to be executed. God began to show him how to interpret dreams. And not just the dreams of the ones that were in there in the prison with him, but to get him to that place to interpret the dreams of Potiphar. Just to paraphrase the rest, guess what happens? He becomes the second in command in Egypt during a famine, during a drought. That what he was doing all along was to bring that little boy that had a dream and a coat of many colors, to put him through the press and put him through the press and put him through the press to get him to the palace. And not just to save his own life, but to save the life of many, to bring them out of that place of death and into a place of life. They went through the press, and even his own family try to get to kill him. But what God has laid his hand on, no one can take you out. You may not like the pressure. You may not like the plan. But the end result is always better than the beginning. That's just Joseph. What you have meant for evil, God has turned it for my good. All the words that you spoke about me, God has meant it for my good. God has meant it so I can help myself by going low, so that in this season and this time, he will raise me up above a system where the system was meant to keep me down. He wanted to raise us up. He's trying to tell you that the pressure, help yourself. It reminds me of another story. Man, the Bible's good, man. It's good. I love it. Oh, what you said? Help yourself. Psalm 30 out of the King James reads like this. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I have should not gone down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. In my prosperity I said I should never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou did hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee. I cried to thee, O Lord. And unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall I declare the truth? Hear, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. Thou hast turned me from my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. The end of that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Oh, I hope you hear this. The same David that was about to be stoned, the same David that had to help himself, said in the midst of all this adversity, I will yet praise you. I will praise you in the midst of everything, and declares where he's been in the pit or to the point of death. He's declared everything that he's gone through, but the great psalmist begins to write a song about him coming out. Because God did it once, he'll do it again. He helped himself. That's not it. We don't want to talk about the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the furnace. They went through some stuff, did they not? But when they came out, they became rulers, governors, a place of position. Don't negate your process or the press. And if you're looking for all the Shondas and the Hondas, you're going to get that, a Shonda. But that's all you're going to get. I want the supernatural. First, learn how to deal in the supernatural with your natural first. Oh. Y'all ain't gonna like this one, but you know what? I'm not here to make friends. You want to see glory, dust, and oil? You want to see signs and wonders like never before? Get ready for the hell that's about to break loose in your life. You want to see the dead raised? You're going to face death yourself. You want to see blind eyes open? You may go blind first. You want to see ears come unplugged? Maybe you're not going to hear a word from God for years. We want to pray all kinds of power. I want the power. You're going to get the pressure first. You're going to understand mercy and grace. You want all that? It comes with a price. Oh, it comes with a price. I want a big ministry. Deal with the five you got. And when you can deal with the five, I may send one more. Oh, this is real. They don't want to hear this for real, buyer. I said, Lord, give me a big old church. I want 1,000 people. I'll do 1,500 seats in my auditorium. I'll do 2 services. That's 3,000 on a Sunday. Can you handle what you got? Well, these people, they're needy. I'm role playing. Just role playing. There's a song. Role playing. You're like, yeah. He says, but if you learn how to steward the little, I'll make you ruler of much. But it's in the little that you begin to know that the press is on. Because then you can't rely on that government check no more. You can't rely on a check that comes in every month anymore. Because then I have some things that are going to be added unto you, and then you're going to have to rely on me. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Woo! Do I say it? See, one thing I know, that when I get blessed and I get a vehicle that's given to me, that thing shines all the time. My wife gets mad at me. Oh, that car's always clean, but mine? I love you, baby. Watch this. But then I got to put gas in it. Y'all go, man, I'm going to tell it like it really is. Can I tell him? I ain't got cash on me. If I get something given to me, my wife says, go get some stuff from the store and there's change, that's my change. That's my gas. Because I ain't got no bank account, because I mess it all up. I used to think, Mama, I want those shoes. I ain't got no money. Well, you got checks. Write a check. Because every time you write a check, I get what I want. So I grew up thinking that way. It didn't work at all. God took that thing away real quick. And then, watch this, I'm going to help somebody in here. Then I go to Walmart to go get me a second chance account. Didn't even last a month. And go back and ask, can you give me another chance? He said, son, you only had this, you didn't even get your real checks in and you're already negative. We had to close your account. You done went busted and disgusted off the temporary checks. It don't go that way. I thought you balance the checkbook, not me. That's your job. You're a banker, not me. I put the money in, then I write checks. So a blessing comes to the house, and it's my vehicle. I ain't got to wait for my wife to come and bring me to church early in the morning, and then go back, and then wait for someone to go pick her up. Then the next thing we do is, okay, you take the car because you leave early to get to church, and then we'll send David to go pick up her and the kids. But that all ended when I got my vehicle. And Lord, watch this. I didn't just get a vehicle. I got a convertible. Hair blowing back. That's why it's receding, because it goes real fast. That's why it's good from the convertible. Blew the color right off, John. Right off. Bling good. What's that light? Any gas? Josh, yeah, I know you got money. You've been working. I need some gas, Josh. Here you go, Dad. Oh, watch this, watch this. But I knew that when God said, I bless you, learn how to steward what you didn't have to steward before. And I realized something. He always gets people to that very edge of their breakthrough. And it gets so hard. So hard. And then what happens is we quit. But just right on that other side was your breakthrough. And you quit and you miss it. I said, God, I ain't missing this one. I'll take this car, I'll keep it clean, even I ain't got no gas in it. Get up in the morning, wax that thing every day. Because God, I thank you. Because my car represents ministry. If I keep it clean, God, I know that you'll keep my ministry clean. If I keep it in order, you'll keep my ministry in order. If I take care of what you've given me, you'll bless me with more. Watch this. Y'all think I'm silly, but I know how to look at things prophetically. And my wife will get in the car, and she'll say, let's go get gas. The Holy Spirit will always get into your place and fill you up. Right when you need it. Can you be faithful with a little? So he can make you ruler of much. And when you think you're running on fumes and you can't go another mile, you can't even go down a block, the Holy Spirit sits right on in. He says, I have filled you. Now run. I have helped you because you've learned to help yourself. Because I am the helper that was sent by your Father to help you. And I filled you up. Do not fret and do not worry, for I am in here with you. I sit with you. I celebrate with you. Yesterday I called my son Josh. I said, Josh, is it raining over there? Josh says, no, it looks like it, but it ain't raining. Okay.
I just finished cleaning the church and gonna go get some ice. I said, I'm going with the top down. Put that top down. And I played this song, the last one. I played this song.
All right. It's a celebration to last throughout the year.
Wait, IQ, hold on. Watch this. I put that top down. I cranked on that car and it talked to me. She said, help yourself. Help yourself. Help yourself. That thing began to purr. I said, Lord Jesus, she's all nice and clean. She's ready to roll. I turned on this song now.
Party's going all right. It's a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate and party with you. Come on now.
I'm going down days of falling. I have that thing blurring up and I'm crying. I'm celebrating God. I'm celebrating. I don't need to have no worship song. I worship you. And I thank you, God, that I can celebrate in the midst of my adversity, in the midst of my lack, in the midst of not having enough. I celebrate you, God, in the midst of having everything come against me. I celebrate you, God. And I know that your good is for me. And your mercy endures forever. And I begin to weep and cry as I'm driving down. And I remember when I didn't have a vehicle. I remember when I lost my vehicle. I remember when I lost everything. And God says, look at what I've restored to you. I brought it to you debt free. All you got to do is praise me. Praise me. And I begin to cry and say, God, you're good, you're good, you're good. Because if he did it for me once, he's going to do it again. And I begin to cry. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, that I didn't quit. And what you restored to me, it's because I didn't quit. And I can celebrate. And I can celebrate. Then I get a testimony. Somebody else got him a vehicle too. Somebody else got blessed with the vehicle. I know for a fact. I told you, I go before God to ask God, what is in the atmosphere? What are you doing? He says, it's the opening. It's the opening. Don't miss yours. Don't miss yours. Because he can take off. Time and restore to you in that instant what would have taken years for you to have to endure, and give it to you at that very opening just for you. Maybe you're going to be driving home just weeping, and I don't care if it's a secular song. I don't care. God don't care either, because when your heart is grateful and indebted to him, you can begin to weep for, I don't care what song is on. You could be playing the Rocky song and he's going to just say, that's me. Because I am blessing you. Because you love me. Learn to celebrate in the midst of everything. If y'all looking for an altar call, that was at the beginning. It ain't going to happen now. You should have gotten delivered right now where you were at. You should have gotten delivered through the message.
Yes. Amen.
Don't be looking for all this religious thing. Place oil, man. You got to pray for me. I want the pastor to pray for me. I ain't going to pray for you. Help yourself.
Right.
Help yourself. Let's tell him, girl. Let's tell. Help yourself. Did David say, let's go before the elders and let them lay hands on me? He had no elders. They were the ones trying to stone him. He helped himself.
I'm trying to get the church to is to help themselves. Get in that place. Regardless of your circumstance, help yourself. Because you'll be going down the street, all that dye coming off your hair, that receding hairline. Just because you love God. I was just so blessed. So blessed. Came in here and cleaned and prayed and changed all kinds of things. And I said, Lord, you're up to something. I can't even put my finger on exactly what it is, but you're up to something. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. People are getting healed.
Yeah.
Healed. Not because anybody touched them or prayed for them, just because God did it.
Yes. God be the glory.
God is so good.
God be the glory.
God is good.
Yes.
Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Look unto Him. Look unto Him. And you just thank Him right now. Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You didn't leave me in the pit. I thank You that You didn't let them stone me. I thank You that You didn't let that lion, the bear, take me out. I thank You that the fiery furnace didn't take me out. Thank You that the famine and the drought didn't take me out. But what You had in mind all along for Your people was promotion and elevation. In a place of authority and rulership. Because You brought us out of being in the tent and in the wilderness to learning to live in a kingdom. And I thank You, God, that You've shown us Your ways. So, Father, I just praise You right now for whatever You have in store for the body of Christ, Lord. We say yea and amen. That we walk together, Lord, in agreement with Your Spirit and Your Word. That the manifest presence of God be in everything that we touch and do. Because You are the focal point. And You are the focus of the church. So Father, I thank You right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Amen.